You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. Seed banking is a means of protecting and preserving our endemic fauna through drying and freezing seeds for long-term storage. It is highly effective, with expert evidence showing that 80% of Aotearoa's native plant species can be preserved using these conventional methods. However, other seeds require more complicated methods for successful preservation, which researchers currently know little about. I spoke to lecturer of forest ecology at the School of Forestry at the University of Canterbury, Dr. Sarah Wise, about both the conventional and unconventional means of seed banking, the gaps in current research, and how people can learn more about this important issue. What is the conventional seed banking method that experts use to conserve our endemic plants?
It's quite straightforward, really. It's simply a matter of drying out seeds and popping them in a freezer. So, you know, if you go to the garden centre and you buy a packet of lettuce seeds or tomato seeds or whatever, you'll find, you know, those little foil bags, and those seeds have been dried down to extend their lifespan. I mean, they do have a life on the back of the packet, and they will lose viability over time, but the process of drying them acts to extend their viability, their lifespan. If you then pop those in a freezer, then that further extends that lifespan. So the process of seed banking is just trying to keep those seeds alive for as long as possible. So you dry them down and then you pop them in a freezer. And that could be just your standard Fisher & Paykel deep freeze. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. But seed banks, you know, the global big players in the seed banking world, there's one in Svalbard that goes into the permafrost. There's a big one in the UK, the Royal Botanic Gardens Kew. You know, those are very big, large-scale setups, and you know, the one at Kew, there's a vault underground and there's big walk-in freezers, but it could be quite small scale as well.
What are the benefits of these artificial conservation methods?
I like to make it abundantly clear, it's not replacing conserving our plants in their natural habitats, but what it does provide is an important backup. So if we're worried about pathogens, for example, like myrtle rust and coated dieback or other things going on in natural habitats, seed banking provides a backup. So you've got your seeds protected, you've got those plants conserved somewhere else where they're not going to be affected by those pathogens, those problems going on in the habitat. So if need be, you can go and call upon that reserve and restore, hopefully restore habitats, restore species. You know, it's a good source of seed for restoration projects as well. So a seed bank is like a bank. You've got deposits and you've got withdrawals, and so you can withdraw your seeds and use them for restoration projects as well. And I do know of, you know, at least one example from, I think it was in South Africa, where a species was very threatened and I think it almost went extinct in the wild, and they were able to get the seeds out of a seed bank and restore that species. So the system worked certainly for that example.
In what circumstances are the conventional methods less effective?
So not all species can cope with the conditions that we use in conventional seed banking. So this is particularly a problem for tropical forests, where a lot of those species, the seeds are shed really active and raring to go, and they'll germinate very quickly. They're not shed dormant and about to wait out a period of, you know, cold winter or whatever. And so if you dry those seeds, they'll die. And if you can't dry a seed, you can't freeze it. So you try and stick a very moist seed in a freezer, ice crystals will form in the cells, cells will burst open and you'll kill the seed. So not all species can cope with those conditions. So what we were doing here was trying to get a feel for the New Zealand flora and get a handle on how many of our seeds of our species are going to fall into that camp where we can't conserve them easily using a conventional seed bank.
What less conventional techniques are used for those special types of seeds?
Well, that's a bit tricky. One of the options is cryopreservation, where you take out the embryo from the seed and you pop it in liquid nitrogen or other tissues as well, and then you can get those tissues out of the liquid nitrogen and theoretically get a plant back at the other end. But those techniques are quite tricky. You have to develop special techniques for each species. It's not very straightforward, or certainly not as straightforward as the conventional methods. It's more time-consuming, more costly to work out those methods for your individual species, and you know, requires a lot more specialised lab equipment and expertise as well. You can talk about, there are other ways of conserving your plants outside their natural habitats as well, not just at the seed stage. You know, botanic gardens can form a good source of that, like the Willamai pine, for example, that was rediscovered in the 90s in Australia, just about extinct. They thought it was extinct, and that's being planted in botanic gardens around the world. We got it growing here in New Zealand, and that's, you know, if something happens to that species in its natural habitat, we've got plenty of other individuals across the globe where we can get seeds from and restore that species.
Is there anything the public can do if they want to get involved, or anywhere they can go if they want to learn more?
So seed banking in New Zealand is a bit in its infancy compared to how we're doing in other countries. Australia, the Aussies are ahead of us on this. It's a bit of a problem. But the United Kingdom are also really don't know a lot about their seeds. So New Zealand is starting to play catch up a little bit. There, we do have seed banks in New Zealand. There's one at Massey. There's some iwi-led organisations that are really starting to get into it, and which is just great to see. But simply the act of got threatened species growing in your garden, you have individuals of that species. I used to live in Auckland, and there's a vine, Tecamanthi speciosa, I don't know the common name off the top of my head, which is very threatened from offshore islands where there was goats introduced. Just a few individuals in the wild, but that's planted everywhere in people's gardens, and that species is being conserved outside its natural habitat. That is the process of conservation as well.
Are there any policies you'd want the government to implement in this area?
Well, that's a question. I think we just need more funding, really, to help us do more research to understand our native species, understand seed banking, and get more of this work off the ground, and get more species conserved in our native flora, our taonga species.
That was lecturer of forest ecology at the School of Forestry at the University of Canterbury, Dr. Sarah Wise, speaking to me about seed banking to preserve New Zealand's endemic plant species and the gaps in current knowledge.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.